This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Boomer and Geo.
BT and Sal.
Kevin and Tiki.
Keith McPherson, your nighttime host on the fan.
On the fan.
On the fan.
On the fan.
It's WFAN Daily, hosted by Pete Hoffman.
Hello there, it's me, Pete Hoffman, with you on another episode of WFAN Daily, Sunday night edition, as we recap the weekend that wasn't, because that wasn't a fun weekend. Where do we begin? And now the reason why we're doing it so late is because I did watch SummerSlam. I watched the second day of SummerSlam. I was actually at the opening day, the first day of SummerSlam on Saturday, and it was phenomenal. It was unbelievable. So if you want to hear some WWE stuff, I'll touch a little bit of it later on as well. But let's just recap the three games in Miami first, because that's where we have to start, because everybody's calling for Aaron Boone's head. That is what I've heard now for the entire past 48 to 72 hours since they got, you know, walked off in Miami after having a 6-0 lead, a 9-4 lead, a 12-10 lead going into the final inning, and then get walked off and lose 13-12. All I've heard of is how Aaron Boone needs to be fired. And let me just say this to you all right now. I know that you want Aaron Boone to be fired. I know that you think that Aaron Boone is doing everything in his power to do the wrong thing, that he's not taking, you know, responsibility of this team. He's not firing guys up the right way. He's not holding people accountable. He's not doing things that you want him to do. But my question, and I don't know if we're going to get an answer right now, but my question is he doing what the Yankees brass wants Aaron Boone to do? I think the answer is yes, which is why Aaron Boone, to me, is nowhere close to being on the chopping block, is nowhere close to be getting fired this year. Oh, what a bad series in Miami. Fire Aaron Boone. No, that's not happening. Aaron Boone is going to coach this New York Yankee team into the playoffs, whether you like it or not. And it's because he does it the way the Yankees want him to. It's not about getting in front of a mic, in front of the media on a daily basis and ripping his team a new asshole. It's not. It's not. It's not even close to that. He can show frustration. He shows more frustration with the media, because you want to know why? His job is to minimize the damage to his players at all aspects. That's why the one and only time you really see Aaron Boone being fiery is when he's yelling at the umpire, because they're blowing calls. And rather than his players get ejected, he wants to take the brunt. That's what it comes down to, and that's what the Yankees brass loves. They love to see him protect his players, and that's fine. That's good. That's great. I respect it. I appreciate it, and there's no one else in this business that has his players' backs like Aaron Boone. But that's also the flip side of it, is that when the media attacks, he has his players' back always. Always going to be defensive of them. And you could sit there, and this is the best part too, because all I heard about over the years was Gleyber Torres never did enough, right? Like, he was just so lackadaisical, couldn't stand seeing him play. He's gone. He's gone. And yet somehow, the New York Yankees continue to make bonehead plays on offense, running the bases, and defense. But Gleyber Torres was the issue. Gleyber Torres was the reason why the New York Yankees failed. And Gleyber Torres was the freaking scapegoat. I'm tired of that crap. It's just how the Yankees run their team, run their organization. It's not, I don't want to say babysitting, but it's basically making sure their players.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Walk into each game in a good way. That cut out all the noise, because in the end of the day, you're going to get to the playoffs. So everything else that goes on during the regular season is minutia. Why do you have to deal with that? Don't let it change your focus. Don't let it change your mindset of this team. Just put your head down, or not even put your head down. Enjoy yourself. Go play baseball. That's the message that the Yankees want to put out to their players. I'm not sure if they're getting it, but that's the message that's going out to their players. Is that's what the fans are taking it as, is go have fun. Go do your thing. Go play baseball. No big deal. Because if there was accountability, Jazz Chisholm would be benched. Austin Wells would be benched. Anthony Volpe would be benched. Jason Dominguez would be benched. I mean, go down the laundry list of players that would be benched on a regular basis because they're doing something wrong. But that's not what they do. And that's not an Aaron Boone decision. Okay? It's not an Aaron Boone decision. Aaron Boone is never going to go and say, Volpe, I'm sorry, but you're benched today. Because you want to know why? There's no other starting shortstop on this team. You could say Jose Caballero plays shortstop. You could say that Ahmad Rosario plays shortstop. But Anthony Volpe, analytically, is the starting shortstop of the Yankees. End of story. That's it. There's this guy freaking George Lombard that everyone's kissing his ass saying, oh, this guy's even better than Anthony Volpe. You don't even need Anthony Volpe. Bring up George Lombard. You know what? Maybe that is the move. Maybe that is the move to make, is to bring up George Lombard. Because there's no reason to continuously watch. And I understand that he had four hits on Friday. What would he freaking do? He made another crucial error that scored another run, that scored another situation to continue to happen. And that's great. He had four hits in a game. And it was great on Sunday. He got a triple. They got swept by the Miami Marlins, which, by the way, the Miami Marlins over the last 30 games have been fantastic. So, and I on air, when I was on air Saturday morning, I read a quote from this guy. I forget his first name, but Norby is the last name. He plays for the Miami Marlins and basically said, every fan out there that said that we were terrible and basically talked crap about us, we are not going to go away. We're going to get better. We're the youngest team in baseball, and we're going to continue to grind it out, and we're going to find a way to play baseball the right way, and we're going to find ways to win, whether you like it or not. And I love that. I love that messaging. You know, they are a young team. They have nobody of note. I mean, they had Kyle Stowers going to the All-Star game in the home run derby, I think, too. And nobody knows who he is. You know, Sandy Alcantara, the lone guy that is actually of talent, is the worst pitcher in baseball this year with an ERA over 6. They have nobody. They are not a, they on paper, they're not a great team. They're a young team. They're a hungry team, though. They are a team that doesn't want to be embarrassed. They're a team that wants to prove people wrong. And those are the teams, and we've said this, if you ever listened to the Rico Bronya podcast with Evan and I, with Evan Roberts, we said this early on when I think it was the Miami Marlins when the Mets played them, and they played a tough series versus them, and we go, you know, at what point in time do the Marlins find out that they're not good? Because they didn't find out yet, and they were beating up, or they were taking it to and making it very competitive versus the Mets. Well, I think they hit that wall again where they haven't, or they ran past the wall because they haven't found out that they're not good, and they keep on winning, and they're having an excellent run. And guess what? I think they're 500. I know on Friday, they were 53 and 55. Now they're 500. There's a possibility that this is a playoff team that we're sitting here. And by the way, basically telling Aaron Boone should be fired because the hottest team in baseball, who are the Miami Marlins, just swept the Yankees. Just swept the Yankees. Now, I don't put that all on Aaron Boone. I don't put a lot of it on Aaron Boone because you want to know why? You could say what you want about how this team is playing, but Aaron Boone's not out there fielding the ball. Aaron Boone's not out there swinging for the fences. Aaron Boone is not out there and throwing pitches. He's not. Those are all on the players, and the players have to be held accountable, whether it's Cashman, whether it is Boone. Somebody's got to do it. And at this point in time with the trade deadline, there's no more wiggle room. We've passed it. You could have brought in a left fielder. You could have brought in a shortstop. But you can't tell me, oh, well, who could they have gotten? Look at the guys that got traded. You know what? Be more aggressive. If Anthony Volpe is not the answer right now, call up George Lombard or get yourself a goddamn shortstop. Get yourself a goddamn left fielder. But don't sit here and say, well, who were they supposed to get? Go do it. I keep on talking about Mickey Moniak, who is a much better defender than Jason Dominguez. He can play any outfield position out there. He's 27 years old. He doesn't cost much. You made two trades with the Colorado Rockies for Ryan McMahon and Jake Bird, who both, by the way, Ryan McMahon was betting 217, 16 home runs. His defense was great. Everyone knows that. He had a lot of money on his contract. That's why they were able to make that move. And Jake Bird sucks, which is why they were able to make that move. Meanwhile, Mickey Moniak's having a great season, has about 17 home runs on the season, bat about 270, plays any outfield position out there, will give you better production than Jason Dominguez. Actually found himself last year and had a very similar season too. So this is not a new thing for Mickey Moniak. And I'm not sitting here telling you that, oh, he's the next Johnny Damon or Brett Gardner. But what I am saying is he's much more serviceable and more in a win now situation than Jason Dominguez. Because all I see the guy do is, you know, run bad routes, make bad decisions constantly. Every game, all I hear about from the Yes Network or from Susan and Dave Sims, is he made another bonehead play. Like, it's constant. So you could have gotten upgrades. You chose not to. You chose for a team that was in the World Series last year not to go all in. And that's the crap that's got to stop. And the Mets are the same way, too. You built a great bullpen. Hallelujah. You built a bullpen. How are you supposed to get to that bullpen if you can't score more than two runs a game? It's ridiculous. It's stupid. And you're running out Frankie freaking Montas. Frankie Montas. That's the guy. That's the guy. And Kodai Senga has a rough game, which whatever. I guess we give him a pass, right? Because usually he's on for the five innings he pitches. The only guy that we have is that's reliable to go more than six or getting close to six innings is David Peterson. But it's amazing to me that the Mets and the Yankees basically did identical things. They built their bullpen, and everyone threw bouquets. Like, hey, congratulations. It's like Mets and Yankees on ice did a couple triple axles, and you throw out some roses to them. Well, guess what? They tripped over the rose petals because it wasn't good enough. And they're not good enough. Both teams needed so much help. The Mets needed starting pitching. I don't care what you tell me that, they got the amazing bullpen. Clay Holmes is not a starting pitcher. Frankie Montas is not a starting pitcher in the major leagues. Maybe in the minors. Not in the major leagues. End of story. I mean, I know you tried to run this course in the pitching lab. Maybe we'll fix them. Guess what? This is Victor Zambrano 2.0 with the Mets. You could take as many 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 50 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 freaking years, and you're not going to fix Frankie Montas. It's over. And Clay Holmes, I'm done with him as a starting pitcher. And I'm going to sit here with the Rico Bronya in a little bit and talk to Evan Roberts about how, Clay Holmes, he's still good in the back end of the rotation. We're talking about the back end of the rotation. I'm talking about playoffs. I want to talk about playoffs. I want to talk about building a roster that is going to be good in the playoffs. This is not it. It's not. There's no aces. And if you have to go deep in a series, because these guys, by the way, the starting pitchers that you have on the Mets, which are Kodai Senga, which are David Peterson, which is Sean Manaea, if those are the three guys you're relying upon, because I'm not throwing in the young kids just yet. I'm not throwing in Jonah Tong. I'm not throwing in Nolan McLean. Because guess what? They're not freaking here. We could talk about them as much as we want, but we've been talking about them all season long, and they still haven't arrived yet. When are they going to get called up? The week before the playoffs start? Let's give them a couple innings here and there? No. But yet, all of a sudden, we're going to rely upon Sean Manaea, David Peterson, and Kodai Senga, which, by the way, Kodai Senga may not be able to make 2 starts in a series if they need him. So we're going to go to Clay Holmes? I mean, you might as well just do an open. It's an opener. I made the joke at the beginning of the season that Clay Holmes is a glorified opener. Well, the reality is that's what he is. And it's not effective anymore. And he's pitched a ton of innings, and he has never done that before. Give it a shot next year. But they should have moved on, and they didn't. And the offense is lifeless. So you basically fixed and plugged a hole in the bullpen, but if you don't score runs and your pitchers can't keep you in a game, Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rogers mean jack shit. It's unbelievable what these two organizations did at the trade deadline. And everyone stood up and clapped and said, what's higher than an A+? What's higher than an A? Oh, you can't go any higher than that. Well, did you ever look at the other side of it? How bad of a deadline did they have? I know they were active. I know they gave up prospects, the Mets. For what? Gregory Soto? Cedric Mullins? Cedric Mullins, who, I saw him in the lineup on Sunday. And I wanted to scream, but I was at a house party, my own house party. So I didn't really want to scare the guests. But Cedric Mullins, I see in the lineup, is batting 8th. Some upgrade. Some freaking upgrade. I know Tyrone Taylor batted 9th a lot of times. So I guess it is an upgrade because he bats 8. They were so lost at the deadline. It felt like they knew the moves they wanted to do, didn't want to be aggressive, wanted things to fall in their lap. Things didn't fall in their lap. They got a little bit, we got to pull the trigger somewhere. At least I know the bullpen I can fix. Just give up pieces for those. But everything else, it never played out for them, for David Stearns. And that just, it's tough. This is going to be a rough playoffs because everything that we've seen, the last few months. We have 2 months left of the season. And we're going to watch this format over and over and over. We're going to see on days Francisco Lindor, Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo give you offers as a group for a game. You're going to see for six innings, many times, donuts across the board when it comes down to run totals for the Mets. And then out of nowhere, maybe you'll get a couple hits, maybe get a couple runs that kind of scrape across. And you just got to hope that the pitching staff, it's not a Frankie Montas day. Or it's not a Clay Holmes day. Or that Carlos Mendoza decides not to throw the game away and go to, you know, I would say Rico Garcia, but he's DFA'd already. Don't worry, he'll be back. He'll be back. Austin Warren's here. He had a good outing. Good job by him. But don't worry, Rico Garcia will be back before you know it. Chris Davinsky will be back before you know it. The rotation of crap that the Mets keep on bringing in bullpen-wise is outrageous. It should be illegal. Someone should stop this and be like, this is bad. You guys look dumb continuing to bring in pitchers left and right from the waivers, people that got DFA'd, that people, nobody wants them. Nobody wants them. You don't even want them. But you just got to fill in a roster spot because the options aren't there for other guys. So just keep them running them back. It is the most tiring thing to be a Met fan and watch the musical chairs of Rico Garcia, Chris Davinsky, I'm sure Austin Warren just came back. I'm sure that we're going to see plenty more names come across the ticker that Mets sign, blah, 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 that we've seen 13 times already, 13 appearances, but he's new again because we DFA'd him last week and no one picked him up. So we brought him back. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Now, so the good part of the weekend, I said SummerSlam. I was at SummerSlam. That was pretty freaking awesome. I'm not going to lie. I took my kid. I was with Sal. I was with our guy Mitch as well. And it was fantastic. It was a great experience. Thank you to the WWE for giving the people such a great experience. We had some great guests in this week. If you missed any of them, whether it was Triple H, Cody Rhodes, Michael Cole, go check them out. WFA and Daily, it's all there as well. So you can go see and listen to those episodes. So definitely go find them. That being said, the matches that I enjoyed the most, obviously, Jey Uso, my kid loved. So that kind of got me very excited for that match. Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, still a stud no matter what. Great match. Logan Paul's match versus Jelly Roll was pretty sick. It was Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, Jelly Roll, and Randy Orton. Great match. Really good match. Like the drama was built there. It was great. And the high-flying prowess of Logan Paul. I don't like the guy. I can't stand him, actually. Him and his brother. I thought they were both very annoying. And then all of a sudden, yet somehow I'm watching him wrestle, and I go, this guy's pretty good. He's pretty good at this fake wrestling stuff. He's pretty good. But the best part was you see this great match with CM Punk and Gunther, and then all of a sudden Seth Rollins comes out, and I'm just like, that was badass. That was cool. He comes out, Money in the Bank, cashes it in, wins the title. And then I'm watching today. I just watched Cody Rhodes and Cody Rhodes for John Cena, and it was a great fight. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic. Unbelievable fight. Brock Lesnar comes out at the end. It was awesome. Very cool. And I'm sorry if I'm spoiling it for people, but whatever. But the other fights leading into it were not as good as Saturday. And I got to be honest, if I had to compare the two, maybe just because I was there, but the Seth Rollins entrance was so much more badass and impactful than the Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's cool. And John Cena, everyone loves Cena. My kid was hoping Cena won. It didn't happen. But the Cena, like, nostalgia going away. And then Lesnar coming out was cool. But I feel like Seth Rollins was just a vicious punch to people's face. Like, awe drop, you know, like jaw-dropping moment. But either way, WWE, at MetLife. SummerSlam was fantastic. Ton of celebrities there. A ton of, you know, whether it was Dexter Lawrence, Russell Wilson was there. There was a bunch of people there, a bunch of giants that were there. So it was very cool. Cardi B was there. Whatever. The celebrities were all good, but it was awesome. It was a great night. And that was the best thing that happened in New York this weekend, no doubt about it. Because the baseball teams, when it combined 1-5 after the trade deadline, 1-5, the Yankees get swept by the Marlins, and the Mets, who were in San Francisco and swept the San Francisco Giants team that traded away players, didn't add players, traded away their players, they lost 2 of 3 games. It's embarrassing. It was an embarrassing weekend. And I'm sorry, Monday morning is going to be a crap show for both teams. And I know Boone's name is going to be at the top of the list to get the axe and stuff like that, but that's not going to happen. What really needs to happen, it's kind of got to be a whole regime change in the Bronx. It's just got to be something else. It's not about Boone. It's about the philosophy. The philosophy needs to change. The philosophy can't be any more of we're going to go analytical approach and that's good enough. Just let our coach manager can handle everything else. But as long as he listens to what we want him to do, it's all going to work out. Well, maybe you need better players, though, for that to happen. And I know the Yankees are still in a playoff spot. They're still sitting there. It's getting tighter, though. They're sitting at the second wild card spot. Other teams are creeping up to sneak into the playoffs. They're going to have to win games. Mets are going to have to win games. It's going to be a tight race. Do I, as of today, August 3rd, August 4th, depending on when you're listening to this, do you believe that the Mets and Yankees will both be in the playoffs? Obviously, right now, they're both in the playoffs because of their record. If the season ended today, they'd be there. So that's an obvious yes. Do I think that they have enough to win? I do. Do I have a feeling, though, that it's going to be a quicker exit than I originally thought? Yeah. Like, I have been poised on the fact that – I'm not sure if that's the proper terminology, poised is the term. But I have been very hell-bent on the fact that I think the Yankees are going to be the representatives of the American League in the World Series. It's tough to commit to that anymore. It's tough to say that with the way they've been playing, with how they've been playing, with the show they put out there on a daily basis. It's tough to say that. I know I meant it all season long, but it's tough to keep saying it. I'll get back to you tomorrow and see how I really feel. It was such a bad weekend. I want to say that I don't feel that anymore, but I have to really think about that. Right now, my gut is saying, hell no. But here's the one thing that I will remind everybody. I continue to bag on the Yankees' flaws every single year and go, oh, this is the year they're not going to make the playoffs. And they always do. Last year, I thought things were worse than they were. Then they made the World Series. And yet somehow, they looked worse in the World Series than I've ever seen them before. The Mets, who barely got into the playoffs, who clinched a spot at game 161 of the season, who were down, you know, however many games, was it 15, 20 games at one point? They were X amount of games under 500. They had to fight tooth and nail to get back in the playoffs. They found themselves in the NLCS. They lost game 6. They went to 6 games deep with the Dodgers. So these two teams who we complain about, they could always find a way. But this year seems like they're going to miss the mark because there's going to be other teams that are going to want it more. I'm telling you right now, if a Miami Marlins team sneaks into the playoffs, I'd be more worried about them than any other team in baseball. You could say, oh, why? Because it's a good story, because the young kids. No, because that's been the way. You think about, and we'll finish up on this note, but think about this. How have teams in the NL East gone to the World Series the past, you know, since like 2019? The Nationals, they won a World Series. They were, I believe, 14 or 15 games under 500 at a certain point in time in like May or June. And then they won the World Series. In 2021, the Braves, they were one of the worst teams in the league. Down by like 15-ish games or whatever it is, under 500. They came back and won the World Series. The Phillies in 2022, they didn't win the World Series, but they got far. They got far. In 2024, the New York Mets, we just went through it, were a dumpster dive of a team. And then they caught fire. And then they went to the NLCS and almost won. Played a great series. Need a little bit more. But they got somewhere that no one thought that they were even going to be in the playoffs. I said it all season long, I think they're a playoff team. No one believed that. They got to the NLCS. And the Miami Marlins are now that team in the NL East who are getting right at the right time. Could they be the team, the disruptor in the NL this year? Could they find a way to sneak past? Because to be honest with you, the Dodgers really scary? I want to say yes, but they're just as complex as everyone else. I know they traded away some of their guys because they have other guys coming back healthy, other pitchers coming back healthy. But Ohtani, I don't trust them. Mookie Betts has been bad all season long. Maybe the Marlins are the team that's going to sneak in and just cause hell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So, just beware. Do I feel confident that the Mets and Yankees get to the playoffs right now? Yes. Do I see them going deeper than I thought? I thought the Yankees, again, like I said, the Yankees were going to be the AL representative. Today, not so much. Miami Marlins, get ready. All right. That's it for tonight or this morning. But it was a wonderful weekend in New York. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again. You can always follow me at HoffWFN. Thank you for listening to another episode of WFN Daily. I'll be back tomorrow with more. I'll be back with Sal Acata at 10 a.m. if you're listening to this on Sunday night. And you could, you know, download the Odyssey app, get all your podcasts, get whatever you want. You can go live with us on the Odyssey app. You could Boomer and Geo in the morning, again, BT and Sal, Evan and Tiki, Chris McMonagle, Keith McPherson, all those guys are on there. And then obviously the podcast too, WFN Daily, Rico Bronya, which we'll be doing a little, if you're watching live right now, we will be doing a Rico in about 15 to 20 minutes. So get ready for that because Evan has a lot to say about the Mets and SummerSlam, but more about the Mets. But thank you for listening, subscribing. Thank you for subscribing or watching on YouTube because you can do that as well. And subscribe wherever you get your podcast because you can find WFAN Daily anywhere. Again, at HoffWFAN, I appreciate you guys checking this out and enjoying and watching. And I'll see you guys later. Have a good one. See you mañana.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.